Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Cornerstone Christian Church of God podcast, where we are devoted to bringing restoration and transformation to all. To stay connected and find out more about what God is doing in His church, please visit our website, cccghq.org. Thank you so much, and we hope you are blessed by this message.
Amen. Let's go through our themes together. One to go. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the theme for this month, one to go. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Cornerstone, let there be light. Please, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm happy you're here today. Please say it like you mean it. I'm happy you're here today. Hallelujah. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful testimony of love. Glory to God. Valentine's Day is on Wednesday. Saint Valentine has gone to be with the Lord. But this is the only thing many people know about him. If they even know there was a Saint Valentine. But we give God praise because we're going to be looking at relationship red flags today. In our first service, we'll look at red flags in the family, red flags in relationships, both romantic and platonic. Platonic. And then also within the work environment, so we can be properly balanced. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Sorry, Proverbs 27 and verse 12. Proverbs 27 verse 12. It says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and they are punished. So there's always punishment for a simplicity of mind. The prudent foresees evil. So on Thursday, we looked at prudence and knowledge as two pillars of wisdom. And one of the ways we display prudence in relationships is the ability to understand red flags. What to be cautious of, what to be aware of. We heard in the testimony, it is not just the one who gave birth to one who is a mother. Some are busy chasing after mothers that have said, I don't want to mother you. When there are others with the capacity, the capability, the intention, the desire, and some lose that while chasing after shadows. Oh, Apostle, you don't understand, it's painful. No, you don't understand that you are the one making the pain more and more and more. I know the way she was when we had that meeting a few years ago. Night and day. Yet the love had always been there. And she almost lost it. Seeing danger and avoiding it is an act of wisdom. Like a weather advisory in place, yet you put your head into a trip. And God forbid, untold consequences begin to take place. Some families have stopped being a family long time ago. And it's time for them to get back to being a family. And there are some that need to wake up to realize that what they thought was a family is not. And you only have one life. Live it well. Live it well. I saw a clip many, many years ago. A particular man was fighting with his wife, and irresponsible men beat their wives. So this man beat up and he threw her things out of the house. And another man was driving by. He stopped the car. He looked at the woman being thrown out. And as they were throwing her things out, he was putting them in his car. One man's trash is another man's treasure. You don't know you are a treasure because you are hanging around trash. And when the man saw that what he was throwing out was being put in the vehicle, then he wanted to take it back. The woman said, "No way." In the country, they say, "No way, Jose." Amen. Number one red flag. You are loved only because of what you can give or what you can provide. We're starting hot. You are loved only because of what you can give or what you can provide. You see, you will not know until the ability to provide wins. And sometimes challenges are gifts from God to help you reevaluate your environment. I'm sure every daughter-in-law, both Oprah and Ruth, were saying, "Oh, Naomi, I love you. Naomi, I love you. I love you. You're the sugar in my tea. You are the apple." But when Naomi lost her husband, lost her sons, and there was no more any reason for those daughters to remain with her, that's where it was now obvious who was who. But may challenges not help us to reveal love. May challenges not be the only way we would realize who loves us. Because that is unnecessary pain. Ruth chapter 1 verse 11 to 18. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb?" So she was believing that is the reason because of the Jewish culture. That's the reason why they were still following her. They had the right of refusal. You know, in real estate, you can sign that clause. So if they want to sell, you are the first person they have to offer it to first. So if Naomi had any kids, Ruth and the other daughter-in-law will be the ones to choose first. Okay, turn around. Look, okay, we don't want you. Anybody else can want you. But if they want the son, they have a right for first dibs. Amen. That they may be your husbands. "Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and also bear sons." Very dramatic woman. Like some people we know. Now, would you wait for them till they are grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? "No, my daughter, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Naomi opened her eyes. She said, "Wait a minute. Why am I following you again? There's no need." But Ruth clung to her. Do you kiss and go or you kiss and cling? When you're only love for what you can provide. You see, when Cornerstone started, many people came. Jesus. Pastor. Then I was pastor. Maybe that's why they left. God sent me to you. God said I should come and help you. I thank God I learned very, very early that those who put their trust in man is cursed. I'm so happy I learned early. If you know the people that promised for a wedding, "Oh, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that." I thank God I've learned not to put trust in human beings. One of them, by the time we opened the gift, it was $200. He puts it, but he said he will sponsor the whole wedding. "Don't worry, man. Youth pastor, you did wonderful. Oh my goodness. Do you want a destination wedding or an arrival wedding? I thank God. Oh, God sent me to support you, to help you in ministry and this and this. I just say amen. Praise God. I don't give anybody unnecessary attention. Because if you leave because you were not given attention, then you were not called to stay in the first place. I wasn't there when God spoke to you. Glory to God. God said to me a few years ago, allow me, let me test your leaders for you. And I'm so happy. It is easy for anybody to say, I am with you. I will stand with you. But when fire comes, are you loved only because of what you can give or what you provide? Real love has no reason. Is the family based on transactions? Which means the moment what you have changes or is no longer available, the love also will no longer be available. That's red flag number one. Let's take a deep breath. Number two, are you allowed to be extreme in the areas where it matters? There is fire on the mountain. In which areas do they allow you or encourage you to be extreme? Academics? Extreme in your spending? You know, Jesus. I say, Lord, are we ready for this? You know, it's very tricky talking about family. Some people have this demonic idea that blood is thicker than water. It's one of the most, stupidest? Interesting ideas. Is ice block? Is blood still thicker than ice block? It depends on the state of the water. Have you ever seen anybody that put blood on fire? That boiled blood? Can you boil blood? Well, you can boil water. You can freeze water. There's a way water will be packaged that it will be, oh, Jesus. Are you allowed to be extreme where it matters? There are some homes where in the area where it matters, like relationship with God, they will temper you down. Unfortunately, even some parents who are so-called believers. I'm saying this so that we can adjust our ways. It's not the way to indict anybody, no. So we can adjust our ways. But if it has to do with school, they will allow you to be extreme. But your relationship with God, you cannot be extreme. And they think they are helping you. I pray you greet me at the entrance today. Genesis 22, verse 9 to 10. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound his son Isaac, his family member. He says, remember, this was Old Testament. Don't carry your wife and bind her. See, no. He bound him. And Isaac allowed himself to be bound. He allowed his father to be extreme in his service to God. A great man of God told a story. He said, was teaching and speaking about the extremity that he has allowed in his home. He said he went on a journey. And by the time he came back, lots of his clothes were gone. And he said, "Wife, what happened?" And the wife said she heard a powerful message in church about giving, sacrificial giving, and there was nothing else to give. She, "And you gave my clothes?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, no problem." He allowed her to be extreme. In some homes, it's when they are throwing parties, wasting money, extremities allowed. But if you're sowing a seed to God, I dare not see your donation receipt at the end of the year showing you give to God. What kind of wastage is that? Yet, have they gathered to see how they wasted their resources in the course of the year? What kind of extremity is allowed? Because remember, in every family, there's extremity. Which one is allowed? There are some children today who cannot show their parents how they serve God, because the parents will be concerned for them. Gideon went and tore down the altar of Baal in his father's house. And the father protected him, supported him. "That's my son. Let Baal fight for himself." While some will give up their children for sacrifice. But Gideon's father said, "No, no, no. Can't Baal fight? Are you serving a God that is too weak? Let him fight." So he called him Jerubbaal. Let him fight for him. Let him defend himself. What extremity is allowed in your family? Can you be allowed to pray all night? And they are not concerned that you sleep in school. But you can study all night, but there will be no concern. Sometimes it's only when things are compared you realize the motivations in people's hearts. Number three, the way we are moving. Anything that takes you away from them is not encouraged, even though it is best for you. I'll repeat, we are speaking about red flags. Anything that takes you away from them is not encouraged, even if it is best for you. You cannot take a job out of town. Admission is not a question of what is the will of God. You are leaving town? No, 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 no. You are not going. Why do you want to split the family? Abraham split his family. When he realized Lot was giving, said, "Look, the land is free. You go left, I go right. You go down, I go up." You cannot go to another church because it will split the family. Is that the will of God? Must be the first question. It's rare today to find. If you ask me where my siblings are now, other than my church siblings, different parts of the world. Because some parents looked and said, "What is the will of God? What is the will of God?" Many of us speak about the Rothschild family. But do you understand that one man looked as directed by God and said, "Now you go dominate in this country. You go dominate here, you dominate here, you dominate there." The goal is not keep the family physically together inside a small box. No, life is bigger than that. Don't let anybody contain your destiny out of love, in quotes. There's a better job, a better opportunity as led by God, not because you got a $3,000 increase. As led by God. And you take it to God openly with integrity in your heart. Lord, lead me and guide me. What is your will? Anything that takes you away from them is not encouraged. It's not encouraged. Even though it is best for you. Even though it is best for you. Are we together? Are we together? Remember, the essence for this is to examine. And if you are privileged to be the head of the home, make adjustments. Make adjustments. Make adjustments. Make adjustments. Make adjustments. Make adjustments. And for some, it will help us to open our eyes to what has always been, but we refuse to see. Number four, red flag. Peace means the avoidance of conflict. In the name of peace, let's not talk. In the name of peace, don't say anything. In the name of, just pretend as if you did not notice someone stepped on your toes. Why are you hopping? No, I just like to hop. No. You stepped on my toes. Peace does not mean that you avoid conflict. No. A family that does not have healthy disagreements is a convenience store. It's an arrangement of convenience. Healthy disagreements. It is why sometimes people just realize somebody blew up and somebody did something and they're wondering, what happened to you? It has always been there. There must be a way to express grievances between the head and the tail. And between left and right, everybody has a right. I don't like cultures where it's top down only. Elders cannot apologize. So you are raising children or subordinates who are just so full of pent-up anger and frustration. And when the opportunity comes, they explode. It would be lovely to see parents who say sorry. Not by giving you more meat, but by vocalizing it. Not by adding $20 to your allowance. And God is raising us to be such. And is correcting the anomaly we have seen. Remember, nobody's perfect. Because those who are throwing stones most likely would also receive stones. The Bible says, why are you removing the speck from your brother's eye without first removing the plank in your own eyes? I've realized that rebellious people are one of the worst leaders. It's just an interesting dichotomy. You see someone, they call themselves rebel leaders. They are rebel leaders, rebel and leader. Those two words should not be joined together. Because a rebel is one who believes that there should not be any chain of command, no authority. Yet a rebel is a leader. And if you look at their leadership structure, you understand that they demand loyalty. And they don't tolerate rebellion. So they don't like rebels, even though they are rebel leaders. But a rebel leader can only create rebel followers or rebellious followers. Peace must never be the avoidance of conflict. We must allow conflict. Healthy disagreements. I've been in meetings where two leaders, the only thing they didn't do was to slap each other. And I encourage you, say what's on your mind. They blew up. Okay, now, calm down now. Oh, yeah, you blew up. Calm down. Oh, yes. Initially, they were first, pastors, apostles here. No. Allow yourself, because if you keep hiding these things, it's dangerous. Let people express themselves. I don't like the way you spoke to me yesterday. It's not good. I said, hi, you just give me the eye and you left. What's wrong with you? I said, nothing is wrong with me. What's wrong with you? You see, when you believe you have the right system, you'll not be afraid of conflict. Conflict only destroys fragile environments. If a conflict destroyed your home, it was not built on the rock. No. If a conflict destroyed your relationship, no, we are not in second service. Let's focus. Matthew 27:45-46. Now, when the sixth hour until now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried and expressed disagreement with God, displeasure. This was the only time you heard Jesus express, why have you forsaken me? In front of everybody, accusing God. That's a disagreement. Yet, God did not say, how dare you in front of all these earthlings. I shut down your access to heaven. No. God kept quiet because the Father knew what he said was true. Healthy disagreement. Disagree with everything environment is fake. It's fake. It's fake. Agree with everything everyone does is not a sign of love. We must be able to express ourselves. You know the issue I have with these people who claim, is it First Amendment or Second Amendment? Freedom of speech. Is they are the same ones that don't give others the freedom of speech. If you have a right to say you identify as a goat, I have a right to say I don't believe in people identifying as goats. It goes both ways. If you believe you can, then I should also believe that I don't believe you can. And it is balanced. Because you believing you are that can offend me too. So you say it, I allow myself to be offended. I say mine, you allow yourself to be offended. We shake hands and we move on. Amen. What if you said what you said? We didn't counsel you. I say what I say. You want? You can't even counsel me. I'm born of God. Yeah. Then it means you are a liar. You don't believe in what you claim you believe in. You're just an insecure person looking to muzzle people in the name of rights. You can clap if you want to. They won't arrest you. So we must build environments where people can have disagreements. Disagreements with a leader. Being able to say, you know, this, now, listen to me, because some people, they have the rebellion in their blood. Listen to me carefully. Mm-hmm. And we'll suck it out. we have a right when we are saying, okay, how do we design this? Now you might not be able to see it, but it is red. Okay, how do we design in the brainstorming phase? You have a right to share all kinds of things. That's what I'm speaking about. But after it is done and they've said this is where we're going, leave your disagreement, put it on the side. But a rebellious person will continue. I still don't like it. That one is rebellion. But we're saying that we have a right in that process to share our views without the fear of being targeted. Peace does not mean the avoidance of conflict. In an environment where you're not allowed, that's a red flag. Number five, everyone's wins are not celebrated, or everyone's challenges are not deliberated. It's a red flag. In a real family, we celebrate people's wins. Together and openly. In a real family, we deliberate people's challenges together and openly. So I have issues when someone loses a loved one and they tell me, no, no, don't tell everybody, don't tell people. Don't tell the leaders, don't tell this. I have an issue with that. Because in my mind, you're demonstrating you're not a part of the family. Oh, I just don't like people pitying me. No, no, no. It's not about pitying. Because in a family, we must celebrate together. And then we mourn together. If there's a challenge, it is brought out and it is dealt with together. One of the issues, the reasons why Absalom became a monster was David himself. How can somebody rape your own daughter, raped his sister, and you said nothing? No. Then Absalom killed the one who raped his sister, and you, David, said nothing. That's dangerous. When people score wins, we come together and celebrate as loudly as possible. That's why when some of us met the Prime Minister, I celebrated. And I'll keep celebrating till yesterday, until tomorrow. Oh, yes. And many other wins. This one in this position and that position and this position, we celebrate. Because that's what a family does. There's an issue with only gathering together for a funeral, only sharing when there's a loss, but not sharing when there's a gain. And the opposite is also true. Only sharing when there's a gain, but not doing anything when there's a loss. It must be properly balanced. So the only time we hear that Jesus went to Peter's house, he heard his mother-in-law was sick. And he healed her. Everyone's wins must be celebrated. So make it a point of duty as a head of your home. When there's a win, let everybody know. You know, when you're starting something, people are not used to. People, if they are older, don't share this with this person. Don't share. No, no, no. You have to let them know. No, we're a family. To some degree, but people must know that something good has landed in your home. That people will be excited. Like people celebrate. Number six, we're going to seven. Favoritism is a massive red flag. Massive red flag. What does favoritism mean? It means favoring one over the other. Let's try to define it without the word favor. Favoritism means loving one over the other, preferring one over the other. Now, one's behavior might make them preferred. But we must make sure that that is not the case. You see, the job of a leader is hard. Let Let me show you something that perhaps you might not have noticed. Genesis 25 and verse 22. Genesis 25, 22. But the children struggled within her, and she said, if all is well, this was Rebecca, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Not Isaac, but she went. Please now, let's move. 23. Thank you. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other people. And the older shall serve the younger. So who be greater? The younger. Who got that information? Rebecca. Now let's go to 27 to 28. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skilled hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. Now look at why, look at what happened now. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You think Rebekah was just very nice? Because we know from Bible that she was very manipulative. She got information. Jacob is greater than Esau. Wow. And when she's serving food, Jacob, he has more food for you. Mama loves you, okay? When they were buying outfits for them as a kid, the one she bought for him was, Mommy loves you. And then for Esau, Mommy likes you. Because many times we just look at Jacob and the way he raised his family. We're going to look at that shortly. But you see in this family, two children, but they just divided them in half. Isaac, you take Esau, the hairy man, you like food. And Rebecca, you take Jacob. You think she was just very nice, but she had information that most likely she did not tell Isaac. You see, it's how you raise children they will become. She kept him at home. You are not going anywhere. Esau, you go and hunt. If lions kill you, no problem. If a cheetah finds you, no problem. Jacob just realized that he likes staying at home. But he might not have realized who engineered it. You see, you need to be concerned. When a parent is telling you all the faults of the other parent, you need to ask yourself, but why? You see, this school fees, you're guessing, your dad did not contribute anything to it. It's just me. But just respect him. He's a good man. But it is me. It is from everything my account I removed for you. Because I know you'll be great. Okay? Don't disappoint me. You are my RRSP. We must make sure. It might make a child feel good. But you are like a chicken that's being prepped for Christmas. That's what you're doing to a child that you favor over the others. The chicken will be feeling good, like he's the master of the house. But when December 24th comes, midnight, some people understand what I'm talking about. That's one of the saddest days in the chicken kingdom. And in North America, it is the day before Thanksgiving. In the Turkey kingdom, amen. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 to 4. Genesis 37, verse 3 to 4. Now, Israel loved Jacob more than all his children. That's a big error. Big error. Because he was the son of his old age. That's a lie. What about Benjamin? Benjamin was more of a son of his old age than Joseph. When a parent makes you the favorite, they've put a target on your, not your back, your forehead. Look at what the Bible says in verse 4. Verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him and they had a right, God was not going to protect Joseph from them because the father put a target on him. Because every child deserves to be loved. It's like going to rob a bank and putting the money in somebody's account. The one with the money in the account knows it was it's the result of robbery. They are also complicit in that offense. So Joseph was. He was not innocent. They loved him more than all his brothers. They hated him and could not. Not that they did not. They could not speak peaceably. You know when you have practice, I'll just tell him, Joseph, I love you. But when you get there, Joseph, I hate you. They just couldn't speak peaceably to him because the father put a target on his forehead. Favoritism is dangerous. An environment of favoritism is dangerous. There are some children, even some spouses, who might behave in a way that should not make them to be respected or loved. But a family must be the safest place for every member. Please listen to me carefully. If a Canadian citizen was caught in Russia selling drugs, which is banned in Canada, it's illegal, and is imprisoned in Russia, our prime minister must fight to get that person. You can't say, oh, that person did not represent Canada, so they should rot in jail there. No. Who wants to be a part of such a country? So you see these nations fighting for citizens who might be considered irresponsible, but yet they're still fighting for them because that is the way it is supposed to be. I'm speaking to both the one who is making somebody a favorite and the one who they made a favorite. The one who was made, the one, you who have been made a favorite, you better adjust yourself and unfavorite yourself. If you want to, you see, those parents will not live forever. When they go, you understand what hell means. So when Jacob now had the chance to meet Esau, that's when he lost his socket bone. When he had to fight with an angel, he said, now I'm in trouble. I'm finished. Dad is gone. Mom is gone. Finished. Now it's just him and Esau. And no Rebecca to manipulate him out of situations. When you are there gathered and a parent is saying in the presence of your siblings, can't you be like this person? Can't you do like this? This is my best. You better, in that moment, you better release yourself. And God will give us wisdom. God, because people can do things out of frustration and leave a mark that will last for generations. Adjust yourself. Go back to the sibling after. I support you. I stand with you. I stand with you. You know, when I was much, much younger, you know, sometimes, you know, parents might want to find a snitch in the family that can be giving them information. And there's a reward for being a snitch. But I learned by going through boarding school that if you're a snitch, you'll not last. You'll not last. So they get back. So what happened in the home? I don't know. Who did this? I don't know. It wasn't me. It wasn't them. I don't know. Because you'll not be in the house forever. Dad, you go to work. Mom, you go. You'll be beaten up. And they say, what happened to you? I fell. No, you didn't fall. please. Favoritism is a red flag. Finally, correction without encouragement, or encouragement without correction. They go hand in hand. A red flag is an environment where there's, you are corrected, but you're not encouraged. And it's also a red flag where you're only encouraged, but not corrected. It must be properly balanced. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 8. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. Glory to God. You'd be surprised that a word like this is healing families. You'd be surprised because he sent his word and it healed them. There are medications that we take that cause pain. And in the midst of the pain, healing is taking place rapidly. You're saying, what are you saying, Apostle? When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven opened, was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. In the same way, like we read earlier, Matthew 27, 45 to 46, when the same God saw sin in Jesus, he stayed away from him. Encouragement and then rebuke. I saw sin. I separated myself. That's a rebuke. You've not done anything. I'm giving you words of affirmation. That's encouragement. It must be balanced in a family. Seven red flags in a family. Were you blessed? Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Those who have the power to build families, we have to take note and make sure we are doing the right things to create an environment that fosters growth within the home. A home that only corrects the first son, first daughter, the firstborn, but absolves the younger one. Oh, you know, this one is still a child. You know. That is bad. It must be properly balanced. Now, I want to speak to certain people this morning. The people who, that's why I said she practically preached the message. Who God who found themselves in situations that don't look like the norm? Whose biological fathers have decided they don't want to father anymore? Whose biological mothers I've decided the only contribution I want to have to you is I gave you free rent in my womb for 9 months. But they've demonstrated that anything after that, they are not interested. Please take their word for it. The Bible says affliction must not rise a second time. If you don't get the message they are sending the first time, you keep afflicting yourself every time. Please listen to me carefully. Look around you. There is a father or there is a mother. God is not wicked. God is not wicked to have allowed you to come to this earth without a place where you be nurtured. It might not be that your case is the norm. Oh, I know this one loves me, but this is the person supposed to love me. Who told you that? Who told you that? I see many people regularly miss. You see, I've said this to people before. The Bible says, God said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. When God sends people to be a father or a mother to you, and you keep saying no, 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 one day you wake up and God has moved them away. Because listen, every time you say no to them, their own hearts too is being damaged. And God will not allow someone he has sent to be destroyed because of you. Is it unfortunate? Yes. Is it painful? Yes. But in the place he has prepared for you, when you step in there boldly, you realize you've not lost anything. You've not lost anything. It is time to step out of places where you were never meant to be. It is time to step out of places where you were never meant to be. You know, in the beginning, when people got revelation, after I preached the message on the importance of names, changing names, some people were fighting back. Now, people are the ones begging for their names to be changed. You see, in the very same way, some people don't understand what God already understands and knows and is telling us. Some expect some to remain in an abusive family, and they'll keep abusing them physically, mentally, emotionally, under the guise, the wrong assumption, we are family, so I have the right to kill you. So someone who finally realized and stepped out of abuse and separated herself. Now the different family members are reaching out to me. Oh, what this person is doing is not good. It's just because I'm a man of God, respectable. I would have told you, you yourself, you are not good. You with your mouth, you are not good. Someone has woken up and stepped out of your abuse. And now you're saying it's not good. What do you expect? They'll remain there in an abusive place morning, afternoon, night. Why? Because we were gathered together without my permission at birth? No. Please. There are some people who were scolded, who were trained in a very, very, perhaps harsh way. It's not you I'm speaking about. No. You know, there's a way things can be done sometimes that can be challenging. But I'm speaking to those who were abused. Abuse is different from, you know, you try to scold, but you overscolded here and there sometimes. That's different. It's excusable. But I'm speaking to those who were abused, neglected. And the mother only shows up to collect money. Someone said to me many years ago, she knows, maybe about 5 years ago or so, she knows that whenever the mom calls, it's because she wants money. Or the child wants to be loved. She knows, but she doesn't want to believe that. I said, so what do you want to do? She cried, and said, whatever you want to do is what you can do. It's up to you. Is that painful? Yes. The moment she gets the money, no contact again. Until 6 months. The Lord feels your pain. Step out. It will be painful for a bit, but I can assure you, you'll find healing. If you remain in that space, the pain will continue, and it is not God's fault anymore. There are some giving to you. You don't see them as loving you, but you still gravitate towards the ones always taken from you. Whatever you find is now your responsibility. But there's grace in the house this morning for setting people free. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The family unit is supposed to be the safest biological place Just like the church is meant to be the safest place spiritually. Please rise up on your feet.
Thank you for taking the time to listen and receive the fresh word of God. Before you leave, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not born again, I, Pastor Ibukun Adewusi, would love to pray with you. If you're ready to give your life to Christ right now, please say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe you died for me on the cross of Calvary. I know I am a sinner, and today I come to you to forgive me of all my sins and to make me a brand new creation. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and making me born again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Congratulations, you are now born again. Please reach out to us on cccghq.org/saved and fill out the form completely so that we can send you wonderful materials to help you grow on your new walk with Christ. Congratulations once again. We love you and God bless you.